This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, racial disparities in the criminal justice system have been the subject of rallies and protests around the country since last summer. We'll look at how tensions over these disparities are playing out here in Wisconsin.
First, it's our weekly look at the latest from Capitol Hill with USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. Congress has little over a week to agree on how to fund the Department of Homeland Security before the agency shuts down.
And President Obama is hosting a summit on extremism today. We'll take a look at how seriously lawmakers are taking Islamic extremism in the wake of attacks in Sydney, Paris, and Copenhagen.
Paul Singer joins us every week at this time. Paul, good to have you back.
Hey, Veronica. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Well, big news yesterday, a federal judge in Texas putting the brakes on President Obama's executive actions on immigration, and that's what's been the sticking point in the movement forward of a Homeland Security bill and the funding there. So what's the take on Capitol Hill to that, the ruling in Texas?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The one thing to keep in mind about the ruling in Texas that it was really interesting is that ultimately the ruling itself was very technical. It was an issue of whether or not the administration provided appropriate comment period opportunities for people to comment on the way they were implementing this thing. It's kind of funny because the judge then goes on and explains why this whole thing is unconstitutional and a bad idea and the president is overreaching, but that's all sort of his opinion. His legal argument was a very technical one, which is sort of interesting. Now, there are some people who suggest that, well, since the judge has gone ahead and suspended this program, well, of course, the administration will appeal, but they've agreed that it is suspended, you know, while this case pends. You could make a case that then Republicans can go ahead and just release the funding for Department of Homeland Security, which mean, when I say release, I mean pass a funding bill for Homeland Security that does not have provisions to shut down this immigration program of the president's, because it's already shut down. I'm not convinced that Republicans want to take that path at this point. I mean, they seem very excited about the Texas ruling, but not sanguine. They're not convinced this is the end of the battle, which it probably isn't. So we'll see it. I mean, we don't yet have any real answer of what's going to happen next on Homeland Security funding.
So it's interesting. Republicans could have that option to keep Homeland Security funding rolling forward, but nobody's really got the appetite for it yet. Is it an air of let's wait and see what happens?
Well, and of course, they're out this week anyway, so they don't have much they can do, any, even if they were here. And I think what they're probably going to do is come back on Monday and Tuesday of next week and then really focus. As you know, we've had these conversations before. Congress loves nothing like a deadline, and so the odds of them doing anything but in advance of that are slim. But I really don't know. I mean, the House Republicans have said at this point, basically, it's up to the Senate to accept our bill with these provisions attached that would shut down this program. The Senate Republicans have said back to the House Republicans, okay, that's fine, but we can't pass that bill, so now what? And we haven't had an answer yet.
And that looming deadline you mentioned, February 27th, so it looks as though we've got some political back and forth to see how that plays out before we get an answer to what happens on February 27th.
Right, and also, you'll hear a lot of argument now coming that, it doesn't really matter if they shut down because most of those people at Department of Homeland Security are what they call national security or essential employees. They'd still have to go to work. They just wouldn't get paid. Sooner or later, they get paid for the back time they've worked, but they just wouldn't see paychecks.
And how about House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi? What has her position been in all of this?
Well, Pelosi has said repeatedly they should stop, as she says, making a political issue out of the Homeland Security funding. It's too important to pass. Go ahead and let's pass what she calls a clean bill. That is a bill that would fund the department for the rest of the year without these riders and provisions on it. But, of course, as the minority leader of the House of Representatives, she has almost no power to move much.
Now, as long as we're talking about deadlines, this is the first of many deadlines facing Congress this year. What other deadlines do you see coming up in the coming months?
Yeah, you know, sometime this summer they're going to have to once again raise the debt ceiling. That's always exciting. This is the whole argument that goes on of whether or not we are extending the nation further into debt. The deadlines are always a little murky here because it depends on exactly when the tax revenues are coming in and the payments are going out. But sometime this summer there will be another fight over the debt ceiling. Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the Senate, has said that we will not have any more shutdowns and we will not default on our debt. That's what this would be. But expect an argument again over that, and the Republicans will believe that, and will make the argument as they have before, that this is a good opportunity to have a debate over spending with the administration. Keep in mind there's also an April 15th deadline for the House to pass a budget, the House and Senate to pass a budget. This is something that the Democrats could not do for many years when they were in control, and this is the sort of outline of spending over the next few years. Let's see. This is a good test of bipartisanship. Can they get a budget resolution passed? Without one, of course, everything is kind of random. You're just sort of deciding on the fly what to do. The third thing to keep in mind is, of course, there will be another September deadline when we run out of the fiscal year ends, and so all the agencies would be in danger of shutdown if there's not a funding bill passed by September. Normally, that's one of the reasons why you pass a budget bill in advance, so that you can then pass a spending bill that meets your budget. Those are the things you're really going to be looking for. And then there's other legislative things. Significant portions of the Patriot Act expire this year. Can Congress come together and extend those provisions? Or is this the year we finally decide that we're so concerned about the government spying on us that we let those provisions lap?
Right. I mean, the Patriot Act has been something that's been contentious on various levels ever since it's been around. So, I mean, do you have any sense about how that particular debate might be framed? Is it just around surveillance?
I really don't, although I will tell you that it's going to be very interesting this year because we are going into a presidential election year. And so for several of the presidential candidates, most notably Rand Paul, for his base voters, they particularly hate NSA surveillance, and there have been attempts to, you know, pass legislation that would reform the surveillance programs or move it to outside the government or let someone in the private sector hold some of this data. You know, but does that solve the problem of changing the legal authorities that lets the government spy when need be? It's going to be a very difficult vote for senators to take, particularly if they are running for president.
Now, you mentioned a couple moments ago some tests of bipartisanship coming up. And, you know, in a sense, there's not a whole lot of need for bipartisanship. We have big majorities for Republicans in both chambers of the legislature. So have you gotten a sense, and we're very early in the session here, but have you gotten a sense about how this particular governing body is going to function, how it's going to work together?
Well, I mean, they still need enough votes to overcome a presidential veto, which they don't have in the Senate. And so, so far what we have is the Department of Homeland Security funding bill has run up on the rocks and no one's quite sure what to do. The House and the Senate have both approved the Keystone XL pipeline, but the president has threatened to veto that, and there's not enough votes in the Senate to overturn that veto, we don't think. You know, we're off to a sort of an odd start on some of these. I think the president issued somewhere along the lines of a dozen veto threats in the first few weeks of this Congress on everything from, you know, abortion bills to whatever else, so, you know, Keystone among them. So we're already setting up a couple of critical showdowns. I think the Keystone one will be the first, assuming the president actually does as he promised and vetoes this thing in the next couple of days. Then we will see, you know, can we really come to an agreement of some sort, or is it just going to be an issue of Republicans toss their bills to the White House and the White House shoots them down?
Right, which we've been seeing so far. Well, looking back to the topic of terrorism, that the White House is hosting a summit on extremism today and how to prevent it.
Right.
And, you know, we're coming off some recent attacks in Sydney and Paris and Copenhagen. Is this an issue that's being talked about in Congress, too?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really big deal and a really interesting problem. I mean, there's two sort of separate sides to it. One is that there is we are seeing outbursts of terrorism in small ways by individuals who have been radicalized all around the globe. And that is, I mean, even the Charlie Hebdo attacks was only a couple of people, right? There is significant concern about some of those people coming back to the United States, again, as individuals, or individuals in the U.S. being radicalized and taking up a gun and attacking someone. I mean, it's something not far from, I guess, what the Boston Marathon bombing was about. So I don't think it's at all an unreal concern. I think what the administration has been pretty clear about is that they're not talking about a concern of some sort of, you know, 9/11 scale attack by some outside actor. They're more concerned about attacks by sort of these lone wolf groups, terrorists. But all around the globe now, you're seeing radicalized communities that are launching destabilized people, heavily armed, into the world to do bad, dangerous, bloody things. And it is something that I think the world has to be very seriously concerned about.
Now, lastly, I wanted to touch on Kate Brown in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about the political significance there about what we're seeing?
Well, I mean, a year ago, John Kitzhaber was a popular guy who was on his way to winning his reelection. And it is the kookiest story. He is in love with a woman 20 years younger than he is and has not yet married her, but they call her the First Lady, and he gave her a quasi-official job in his office, and it happened she was still a lobbyist working for some energy companies and was basically getting favors through the governor's office. And it became such a bad arrangement that finally people were demanding the governor's emails to see what he had said about all this stuff, and he said no, and he ordered people to erase his hard drive or something. I mean, an absolute picture of government corruption in a place like Oregon where you don't necessarily expect such things. So now, clean slate. We start with Secretary of State Kate Brown, who is, as I think you guys mentioned in your news clip, the first bisexual governor in the U.S., although not sure what that means because she's married to a guy, so who knows. But, you know, if nothing else, it is a tremendous black eye for the Democrats and a guy, Kitzhaber, who was seen as a very solid, easily reelected leader of the Democrats in the West.
All right, that one's making headlines for a lot of reasons. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica. Be well.
We've been speaking with USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer.